Welcome to Elevations, bringing new perspectives to science, technology, education, and the arts. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds.
You expect to hear a story about Pink Floyd in New York City, but you don't expect to hear a story about Pink Floyd performing The Dark Side of the Moon in Kent.
Our guest today is Jason Prufer, author of the Kent State University Press book, Small Town Big Music, The Outsized Influence of Kent, Ohio on the History of Rock and Roll. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, thank you. Welcome.
So what role did Kent and this area play in the history of rock and roll?
Well, there's sort of a lot of factions to that. So there's the great rock and roll that came to Kent, and there's the great rock and roll that came out of Kent. So the university used to host, and it still does host, big concerts. All of the major performers that would come to Northeast Ohio, they would get booked oftentimes in the Memorial Gym because that was the biggest room in Northeast Ohio, or one of the biggest rooms in Northeast Ohio. So we had big concerts here that would have come to Cleveland, but we just had the better room.
And did the fact that you had such prominent musicians and such important musicians, do you think have an impact on what came out of Kent?
The people that I talked to that were involved with that sort of music scene were different people than the ones that I talked to who were part of the more organic music scene that came out of Kent. I more found the people who put on these performances, and I got oral histories out of them. What do you remember about the night? What hotel did they stay at? Did you have a conversation with Paul Simon? What did he tell you in October of 1973? This was what I was interested in. I was interested in what happened when these people were in Kent. What happened when Elton John was in Kent? What did you see? What car did he come out of? You know, what limo did he come out of when he was on his way into the old Memorial Gym? That's what I was really interested in, because when you read some of these rock history books or you read Rolling Stone magazine, you oftentimes will hear stories about these artists in New York City or in Los Angeles or something like that. And those stories are fascinating. And then there's no difference between those stories that these famous promoters in Los Angeles and New York tell. There's no difference between those stories than some promoter here in Kent. They're just as valuable. They're just as interesting. And in fact, I think it's more interesting because it happened here in Kent, because you expect that stuff. You expect to hear a story about Pink Floyd in New York City playing Madison Square Garden. You expect to hear about, you know, Sly and the Family Stone in Los Angeles or San Francisco. But you don't expect to hear a story about Pink Floyd performing The Dark Side of the Moon in Kent. So that's what I found to be the most interesting about that side of it.
Do you have a favorite story from some of the responses you received, or something that I know people will read a lot of that in the book, but one or two things you'd like to share?
Boy, there's a whole bunch. You know, when we talk about the 90s and we talk about the Black Keys, for example, even though we associate the Black Keys with Akron and Patrick Carney and Dan Auerbach, they went to Firestone High School in Akron. They lived in Akron. They grew up in Akron. They did all of their earliest shows and performances here in Kent because we have the venues here in Kent. So Patrick Carney told me that his very first ever performance was at the Manus on North Water Street in downtown Kent. And I don't know if you know where the Manus is, but it's no longer there, but the building is still there, and it's right across from the old JB's. It's abandoned right now, and it was supposed to be demolished, and then now it's not going to be demolished. It's still there. It's right next to the Wells Sherman House. You know where that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he told me that that was his very first performance playing with a band, and this was in like 1996, 1997, and his second performance, and he was still in high school, his second and third performance ever were at the Europe Gyro here in Kent, which we have photographs of, which are in my book. And so it's just really exciting to know that something that became so huge really had its genesis in these really dinky, sort of grungy establishments here in town.
And I understand there are some famous collaborations that sort of happened in Kent.
You know, these guys in Devo and Joe Walsh, they knew each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe did the foreword to my book.
Mm-hmm.
And he described Kent in the 1960s, how Ernest Hemingway described Paris in the 1920s in A Movable Feast. And Joe just kept, when I talked to Joe, he kept referencing this. And Joe talked about how he remembered Chrissy Hynde from those days. Even though she didn't get famous for another 10 years, he remembered Chrissy Hynde coming to see the James Gang at JB's, and Joe would tell the person at the door that Chrissy was his sister. And so she would be 16 years old, and she would be sitting on the floor at JB's. She wasn't allowed to get in there, but Joe wanted her in there. And then he talked to me about how he knew Mark Mothersbaugh. But none of them were famous yet. And I guess that's the thing about A Movable Feast, is it's all these people, I believe, you know, if I haven't actually read A Movable Feast, so if I'm completely wrong, this is what he was telling me. It's that Ernest Hemingway is talking about being around all these people who later became so famous, but at the time they weren't famous, but they were just friends and they were just doing what they did. So Joe was telling me about that. So that's maybe some of the collaborations maybe that that you guys are talking about.
You mentioned Devo. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people do associate Devo with Kent. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about how they got together here, a little more about their story.
So from what I've been told, now remember, I collect these histories. So I'm sort of going off of what other people have told me. But the story of Devo that I can get, that I have found, starts with a guy named Bob Lewis and Jerry Casale. And they were both present on May 4th, 1970. They were present on the hill there. They witnessed it. And they ended up living in the same apartment building together, which is no longer here. And they just started writing this de-evolutionary music. Devo was like a concept before it was ever even a band. It was like an art project, and it was like their art project. And it was about the de-evolution of society, that we had reached this sort of apex, this evolution as human beings, and now we were starting to regress. And so they were developing, they were creating all this artwork, and some of it was music. And the music evolved into eventually Mark Mothersbaugh became involved. Then they became Devo. It took a while from there. I mean, we're talking about things that started happening in 1970, 1971. Devo weren't on Saturday Night Live till 1978. So this was a very slow evolution, if you will, for that band. But that all it all started in Kent. And probably their first six or seven shows were in Kent in front of an audience that didn't know what to even make of them. They weren't famous in Kent. They weren't even really famous in Akron. They didn't really become famous until they got out of here. And the people that got to see them around here didn't even realize, you know, they weren't part of some big crowd that they had developed around this band. It wasn't even like that. It was the people that caught them, sort of caught them by accident, and sort of saw totally weird, bizarre, you know, stage antics and heard music that was abrasive and probably drove most of them out of the room. I think the success that they got probably pushed them to make some more accessible kind of music that became popular. Although even compared to the popular music of the time, it's still pretty abrasive sounding.
Jason, thanks for sharing your stories. We're excited to read the book.
Sure.
We've been talking with Jason Prufer, author of the Kent State University Press book, Small Town, Big Music, The Outsized Influence of Kent, Ohio on the History of Rock and Roll. Elevations is produced by Joe Gunderman, John Nungesser, and Ellie Ellis. I'm Amy Reynolds, Dean of Kent State's College of Communication and Information. Join us every Saturday morning on 89.7 WKSU.